The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
And my sister, she took for about 10, 12 years, she took these two babies in her home, and they had to be tube-fed. They were so disabled. They wouldn't know anybody was in the room with them or not. And she raised those two children. They had little Randy built these apparatuses in the ceiling through their house so Lori could put them in a basket and just take them through the house with her. And if you looked into Austin's closet, he had Harley Davidson leather jackets. And just like, she loved those. She just gave and gave and gave to those families that was trying to raise these two children. Gave and gave. And because they were given, they were in a position to be blessed. In a position to be blessed. It is just, it's a simple obedience. God doesn't babysit it. It's going to happen when you can put yourself in a position of blessing. Now, there will be those around you that will criticize you and say, what are they doing? How come all these good things are happening to them? And how come they're able to accomplish this? And your simple answer is that you don't have to say it. It's just the favor of God. Just be a giver. Just be a giver. We don't give to get, but we get to give. That's the way God has intended it for us. We get to give. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a position to be blessed in the favor of God. The text that we read is, here is the man of God that planted seed when it didn't make sense. Come on, I wish you were here. Planted seed when it didn't make sense. The greatest famine, there was only one time that it was as great during the time of Abraham. There was a great famine. You're not supposed to plant seed when the ground is hard in famine and hasn't rained and stuff. Why would you do that? God told him. In the obedience of God, which is the first position of favor, the first position of blessing, is to live in obedience. Come on now, the first position, if you're not obedient, God doesn't bless that. God blesses obedience. He planted seed in a time of famine, not because it made sense, but because God told him. And if God said, I grew up in Maine, so forgive me every once in a while when the maniac part of me comes out. Up there, they would say bumper sticker. But I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, God said it, I believe it, and it's so. And I wanted to stop and run over with a marker and cross out the part that says, I believe it. You following me? God said it, and it's so, whether you believe it or not. God said it. And if God tells you to plant seed in a time of famine, then plant seed. Because if God is ever talking about seed, he has a harvest in mind. If God is talking to this church about planting seed, it's because God has a harvest in mind. And we need to be in the position of the blessing of the harvest. In the first place of that, or the first step, if you will, in that position is obedience. Do what he tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Do what he tells you. I don't have anything to give. Give something, do something, because you put yourself in a position of favor and blessing. Come on now, this is good. This is good. You think about it for a moment. Look how many of those things happen throughout Scripture. These guys come in from their boats. They've been fishing all day and half the night, and they come in and they are the professional fishermen, and they didn't catch anything, and their boats are now beached up, if you will. They've cleaned their nets. They're mending their nets. They're getting ready for the next day, and at the word of a carpenter. At the word of a carpenter, he said, if you'll launch out into the, and I love this word, it's just a four-letter word, D-E-E-P. If you will launch out into the deep, you can cast your nets on the other side. and you'll have a harvest. It didn't make sense. Are you kidding me? A carpenter is going to tell us how to fish when we've been fishing all night. But Peter said, at thy word. At thy word. Mary is standing at a wedding. Jesus is there. The place is crowded in. And there were so many people at the wedding, they ran out of wine. What were they going to do? They came to Mary with one run out of wine. It was the most horrible position you could possibly be in for the host to run out of supply. And what are we going to do? We've run out of wine. And she says, I don't know what to do, but I know somebody in the room that knows something to do. So whatever he says, do it. Jesus had never performed a miracle before. He had never done, his ministry hadn't been exposed before. But Mary knew something about him that nobody else knew. Mary knew something about him that nobody else in the room know. Listen, I believe that's the way God wants to be in an intimate relationship with us, that we know something about God that nobody else knows about God. He's done something for me that he's never done for anybody else. That God, how many of you believe God is big enough to do that? God is big enough to do something. If he has to create something right now to meet your need, he's able to do that. Mary knew something about him that nobody else in the room knew, so she just simply said, look, I don't know how it's going to happen, but whatever he says, do it. What did he say? He just said, go fill all these things up with water, and they filled all those barrels up with water. They scooped some out for the honored guest, and when the honored guest took a little bit of the water, he said, you have saved the best wine for last. Come on. What normally happened was the best wine was given out first, because you would get everybody a little tipsy in the room, then you'd give them the bad wine, and they wouldn't know any better. And he said, don't you love that? Where's the wine? No, I'm just saying, you know, I think you were served the best wine first from the worship leader up here, and you just got me now. But anyway, he says, you've saved the best wine for last. Why? Jesus, when he touches something, when he does something, when God does something, it is absolutely perfect. It is the absolute best. And if you want to have the absolute best, if you don't want to just barely scrape by, but you want to have the absolute best, get yourself in a position where you can be in a blessed position before God. And the first step of a blessed position is just be obedient to what it is that he tells you to do. Just do it. Just do it. Don't debate it. Just do it. Don't wait for common sense to set in. Just do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, just do it. Just do it. Let's see what God's going to do. Let's just see what God's going to do. It's a place of obedience. A place of obedience. There's another posture. You can go through Scripture and you're going to find several of these. For the sake of time, I can't possibly, you know, be able to. You could teach on this subject for weeks. Matter of fact, I believe this is the theme that your pastor is walking through right now. But there's another posture in this thing, is a posture of expectation. Scripture says, I know whom I have believed, and he is able. Come on. I know who I have believed, and he is able. Why? Why? How can I possibly, you know, I've said it in so many different places that I have been now since we left Farmville, and speaking so many different places, I've actually had to apologize for the generation that's coming behind me. I feel like the generation that went ahead of me shared with my generation experience. My generation has told stories. So now we have a generation coming along that is crying out, where's God? Come on now. I'm just being transparent with you for a moment. And now I feel like we're wrestling, trying to define what Pentecost is, what that experience is. We're trying to define how big God can be, and we're trying to bring revival back. And we were passed on. We were passed to us. People experienced things with God, and the best thing that we can do is read a book and give them the 3 or 4 steps to something. We only have stories to tell. I really believe that when God called us into ministry, I didn't know why. It did not make a bit of sense to us When we graduated from a Bible college, we had a great position in Boston. We were up there for a couple of years as associate young adult pastors in a church, and we were having a great time. We had a home, first floor apartment house, and you could step out onto the front porch and look one block down the road, and there's the ocean right on Lynn Beach. It was absolutely, we were absolutely spoiled when we first started out, and we felt the tug of God for us to go and replant a church in southern West Virginia. You should have sent, God could have sent us to Zimbabwe, South Africa. You know, and it would have been probably better than what we thought was going to happen. But we were in a position of blessing because we were obedient and we went there expecting. We sat in a living room with five people, and yes, couldn't promise us a thing. They couldn't promise us $100 a week. But we believe that's what God was speaking into our lives, and we went there. And I'm telling you that God did something for us that he's probably never done for anybody else. We had a two-room trailer that we were in. I'm sitting in the bigger room. It was called the living room. And Lisa was around the counter, and she was getting ready to make some supper, and it's just the two of us at the time. And she said to me, she opened up the cupboard, and there was one box of Kraft's macaroni and cheese in the cupboard. One box. And she says to me, she says, "For supper, would you like macaroni and cheese, or macaroni and cheese?" And I said, "I'll take the middle one. Sounds better than the other ones. Let's do that one." And we're talking, and she's boiling the water. She pulls the top off the box, takes the package of cheese out, lays it on the counter, and she's pouring the macaroni in and stirring it, and we're talking across the counter, and then I hear her scream, and I jumped up on my chair. I thought she spilled hot water on herself, and when I come around the counter, she's standing there, and she's staring into that pot as God took every one of those little kernels of macaroni and turned them into money. It was, that box was right full of money. I'm talking about $10, $20 bills all folded up in a little, and you had to take them out one at a time and unfold them really carefully. We had enough money to pay caught up on our bills. We went and got groceries. We went out and got something. Why? Because we were in a position for God to do something that he's never done for anybody. I'm not telling you to go out now into Kroger or somewhere and go buy a bunch of box of macaroni and cheese. I'm just telling you that when you are obedient, in obedience, living a life of expectation because you know God is so great that you can plant seed in famine, and if it's what God told you to do, something's going to happen even in the famine. Come on now, God can, I believe God can do that. Well, where do you find that in Scripture? I'm so glad you asked that question. There was this guy called Elijah. You may not have ever heard of him. And in 1 Kings or 2 Kings, 1 Kings, I think, and there's a chapter where this guy comes on the scene. It says Elijah the Tishbite. The word Tishbite means nobody or nothing. So a guy comes on the scene, he's a nobody, and by the end of that chapter, about 25 or so verses, by the end of the chapter, the woman says to him, "Now I know who you are. You are a man of God. Now I know that you are a man of God." So how did this guy in 20, 25 verses of Scripture go from being a nobody to being identified as a man of God? And how did he get himself into the position where the very next chapter he called fire down from heaven? I submit to you that I don't think that chapter was about the three miracles. I think it was about the man that God was molding into a man that was going to confront the enemy, and there was going to be a tremendous revival in the land because God was preparing somebody to do it. And I say the same thing to this church. If you have an expectation of God doing something that he has never done before, and you're living in obedience, and God can raise this church up to do something in this area that has never been done before. God can raise this church up to be the gateway to revival like this area has never seen before, if we will live in obedience with a heart of expectation before God. And here's this guy that you know what he did. The bottom part of that chapter, it says that there's this woman that she has barely enough to feed herself and her child before she dies. And the prophet said, who was the word of God, if you will, in that time, said to her, "If you give me something first," come on. "If you give me something first, you'll never run out." So in obedience, with expectation, she made him something first. And every time she went back to her cupboard, guess what she found? And then her child dies. But she is in a place. Come on, I wish you were here. Help me just a moment. Her child dies, but she's in a place of blessing because she has been obedient with expectation. So when the child, how do we know she was expecting? It's because when the child dies, she says, "Why did you come here? Why did you do this? I was believing for her." She was so expectant of God doing this, but it didn't quite work out the way she thought it was going to work out because her child died. But what did the nobody do? He was a nobody. What did he do? He takes the child back up to his chamber. And there is significance in that. I love that passage of scripture because why didn't he just pray for the child right where he was? He took the child to a place that he was familiar with, a place where God had already met with him, a place where he heard God. You know, who knows how many times he woke up during the night listening to the voice of God, how many times the Lord showed up and with his powerful presence in that chamber, how many times he was just worshiping the Lord and God did some things in his life. He took the child where there was a familiar place where he knew God was. May this be a familiar place for you, that you wouldn't absent yourself from the house of God, but it becomes a familiar place of presence, so much so that instead of just doing things out there, you're not ashamed of bringing the need back in here. He takes the child up and he lays on the child. The Bible says he laid on the child three times, and at the third time, the child came back to life again. What happened? Here was a guy that God was doing something so great in his life that he took the child to a place where he knew God would meet him, and he believed God to do something that God had never done before. Up to that time, God had never raised anybody from the dead before, but he just believed God was big enough to do whatever God wanted to do, and he was just living in obedience, expecting God to do something, and God did it. God raised up the child. I'm not sharing with you anything that is not scriptural. It's God's word. I believe that you can be in a blessed position. God may speak to you to do something that totally does not make sense, but because you're expecting God to be God in your life, you're going to be obedient. And when you're obedient with expectation, you're in a posture of blessing. Now, there's many more here that we can talk about, but for the sake of time, those I think are the two that at least gets us thinking about, Lord, is this really possible? I submit to you that all things are possible. All things are possible. Would you stand with me? Come on, just if you would, stand with me for a moment and look at me for just a moment if you would. How much time do we have, Pastor? Can I just take five more minutes? How about six? Okay. Listen, this is another one of those postures of blessing. This is another one of those positions of blessing, if you will. One is obedience, and another one is expectation. But the other one that I absolutely love is praise. Praise, even when it doesn't make sense. Here's a couple of guys that are chained to the innermost prison. What are they going to do? Doesn't even make sense, does it? Instead of trying to pick one another's locks, what are they going to do? What could they possibly do? And the Bible says that they just begin to sing songs of praise. All of a sudden, God did something that he'd never done before. Prison doors flew open. Chains broke off. Obedience, expectation, and praise. God gave a young man a dream. He believed this was God. And in his youth, he started bragging about it. God told me this. God told me this. And his brothers, what did they do? They dug a pit. Simeon orchestrated a plan to throw him in the pit. The name Simeon means refusal to hear. Come on now, there's significance in that. You can be a Simeon even in this room right now if you don't want to listen. one that didn't want to listen to a dream or to a vision. The one that didn't want to listen orchestrated a plan to throw the dream in a pit. They were going to kill him. The Word of God says that God prepared a caravan, which would have happened about 2 years ahead of time. About 2 years before they dug a pit for their brother, God had already prepared a caravan to come by at precisely the right time. But here they are. Here they are. What are we going to do? And someone orchestrates a plan to get the dreamer out of the pit. And the one that orchestrated the plan to get the dreamer out of the pit was Joseph, was Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. Come on now. What's the best way to get out of your pit? What's the best way to change any situation? Come on, when God shows up, things happen. When God shows up, things change. And if God showed up right now in this room, we wouldn't be the same again. If God showed up right now in this room, there would be so much Jesus on you that you'd slop Jesus on people everywhere you went because God showed up right now. Now look, if we are in obedience with expectation and we're willing to praise, come on, you can plant seed in famine and it's going to produce fruit. You can plant seed in famine. You can do something right now that doesn't make sense, but God told you to do it, and you're in a position of blessing. Come on, lift a hand with me towards heaven. Would you? Lord, we just loved you. I wonder if you'd feel comfortable enough to just lift your voice and praise him. Would you do that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Would you feel comfortable enough just to talk to Jesus? Come on, around this room, let's just talk to Jesus for a moment. Lord, I bless you. I praise you. Worship you. King of kings, Lord of lords, God, you are an awesome God. You are a wonderful way maker. You are Lord. You are Savior. You are mountain mover. God, you're able. You are able. We know you, Lord. We know you. We know that you can, that you'll make a way. Even if there is famine in the land, Lord, and you tell us to plant a seed, something's going to happen. There's going to be a harvest, God. There's going to be a harvest. Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Lord. Worship you. Give you all the honor. Give you all the glory. Give you all the praise. Give you all the honor. Give you all the glory. Give you all the praise. Come on, help me for a moment. Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. Bless your name. I 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 bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. Lord, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. I speak that over this house right here. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would find themselves in a position of blessing. Lord, would you help us today that we would just find ourselves in the position of, Lord, before we leave this room right now, God, I pray that we would make up our mind to be obedient to you, Jesus. We will make up our mind right here. No more. And no more middle of the road, no more hot, cold, no more lukewarm. God, we're going to be obedient to you. We'll be obedient. Lord, forgive us for anything in us, God, that is rebellious or prideful. God, help us to just be obedient to you. I pray, God, that we would acknowledge right now, Lord, that we would have an expectation of our God that hung the sun and the moon in place, that has paid more attention to my next step than all the creation, all the things in the atmosphere and in the heavenlies. Lord, you've paid so much attention. God, if you care for the sparrow that falls to the ground, how much more do you care for those who love you? Lord, I pray that we would live a life of expectation. That, Lord, we would just believe, God, that you are able to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And, Lord, we're going to just live in that. Lord, we're going to wake up in the morning and the enemy's going to be upset. Oh, no, here they go again. They're just walking in God's favor and God's blessing. And they are disrupting the enemy's kingdom because the favor of God is so upon their life. Lord, I pray that we would live a life of praise, that we would give you honor and glory all the time, that we would just bless you. I challenge you to play the music of worship in your car when you're going to and from, and when you wake up in the morning, play the words of praise in your home. I'm telling you, it changes the atmosphere of things because Jesus inhabits those praises. Lord, today I pray that everyone in this room, Lord, would find themselves in the position of blessing. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I will exalt you, Lord, and I will exalt you.